Oh, you want to be a police girl? What you want to? Yeah. Why do you want to be the police? You want to help people? Is that why?
Like, I want to help people and sometimes I want to get some tickets.
You want to what?
Get some tickets.
Some tickets if they're violent.
Yeah, police like handing out those tickets, don't they? That's fun. Okay, everybody, welcome back here. I've got my chief financial analyst, Elin Ermermi. For those of you who remember them, they're out in Kilgore, Texas, doing some analytics for me with their grandmother. And so today, for our topic, we're talking about what we are looking at in careers and what we want to choose to do for work. So I'm gonna ask Elin Ermermi here first. Elin, I'm gonna ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? A veterinarian?
Yes.
Why do you want to be a veterinarian?
Because I like helping animals.
You like helping animals?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know how much veterinarians get paid?
What?
How much money do they make? Do you know?
No.
Yeah, you don't care about that, right? You just care about helping animals. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Remy P., let's turn it over to you. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm a lot of things, but I do not know what I want to be.
Well, I thought you wanted to be, didn't you want to be like a maker, like an engineer, make stuff? What's that?
Maybe I
want
to be a police girl.
You want to do what? Teach school?
Police girl.
To be a police girl.
Okay, I'm gonna turn over your translator. What's she saying?
Police girl.
Oh, you want to be a police girl? What you want to? Yeah. Why do you want to be the police? You want to help people? Is that why?
Like I want to help people, and sometimes I want to get some tickets.
You want to what?
Get some tickets
if they're violated.
Yeah, police like handing out those tickets, don't they? That's fun. That's fun. All right. So how are things in Kilgore? How are things looking financially out in Kilgore? Are they looking good?
Fine.
They're looking fine.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to invest in Kilgore. All right, Elin Remy, y'all get back to work. Thank y'all.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right.
You're
bye.
Bye.
So what did we learn from that? Well, we learned always have better technology when you're trying to do remote. But really, when you're a child, you don't really think about things like money, right? You think about the purity of what it is you want to do. And of course, it's going to change. Sometimes it doesn't, though. So I'd be I wouldn't be too surprised if Elin turned out that she wanted to be a veterinarian. But I'd be very surprised if Remy wound up being a policeman, right? When we're kids, we want to do that stuff. Policeman, fireman, that type of thing. But there's something to that. So I would encourage you to go back and think about what was it when you were 5, 6, 7 years old? What did you want to do? And then can you get back to something like that? So for instance, if you were 7 and you wanted to be an astronaut and you're 35 years old now and haven't gone to college and that type of thing. So I'm not saying go be an astronaut, but think about what it was about being an astronaut that was exciting. Probably has something to do with space, right? And so maybe you can go be a technician on a telescope or something like that. But really, what a lot of people ask me, what do you do to choose the right career? I say go back to the basics. Go back to when you were a kid and figure it out. Notice how they say, neither one of them said they wanted to work with me, right? So that's encouraging. So anyway, hope that helps. Hey everybody, welcome back to Building Wealth with Dr. Wheeler Pulliam. I am Dr. Wheeler Pulliam, in case you were confused. Again, for those of you who are new or just tuning in, this podcast is designed for what? It's designed to give you simple, concrete answers, cut through the noise that's out there, in terms of investments, in terms of investing, in terms of retirement, how to save for retirement, your career, things of that nature. How do you build wealth over time? And if you Google how to build wealth over time, you're going to come up with a gajillion different websites, from everybody from a guy sitting in his basement in India to a professor sitting out in California to maybe an entrepreneur, maybe even an Elon Musk type sitting there responding. And you don't know where that fits for you. So what I try to do is cut through all of that noise, give you simple, complete answers, action items that you can take, use it, go forth and do great things, help yourself, help other people, probably more importantly. So that's the purpose of this podcast. Not trying to sell you anything, not trying to get you into the next hot stock, not next hot investment. This isn't Wolf of Wall Street. And that's what a lot of people think a financial advisor does. Some of them do, but that's not what the purpose of this podcast is. It's generally to give you the information you need to go forth and do great things. And if you haven't started already, to get started on your path towards wealth. So with that, let's get into it. So one question I get is, what's the investment answer, right? What's the perfecta? What gets me there, gets you there? And I'll tell you, there's no one size fits all. That's the first thing you got to remember. A lot of you out there hunting and pecking on Google or watching movies or following the latest TikTok or the less, you want an answer in 15 seconds or 20 seconds. I'd love to give you that answer. And honestly, I think that's a lot of where crypto comes from. And I'll get that into a minute. But really, it doesn't work that way. True wealth, true wealthy people, old money, even new money transitioning into old money, it comes from the seriousness of investing over time, stability, things that are concrete, things that you can touch, things that you can understand, things that you can build over time. It's not, you know, a one-stop quick hit. It's not, you know, picking the latest and greatest stock or a technical analysis of following the graph and, oh, it's here, now it's there, and I'm going to short this or I'm going to long call that, or I'm going to straddle. All of those things make for great movies. You know what they don't make for? They don't make for great wealth, okay? So the first thing you got to do is take a look at yourself and what is your parameter. I think Clint Eastwood said in a movie, a man's got to know his limitations, okay? I'm not saying you can't build wealth, but when you're just starting out, learning things or trying to get on the right track, you don't want to jump in the deep end and start looking at things like puts, calls, options, hedge funds. Those are all tools. Those are all tools. It may or may not make sense for you. The first thing you want to do is make sure you got a solid plan in place. You know where you are today, and then you know where you want to go. And then we can try and help you get there in the simplest, easiest fashion without a lot of risk, without a lot of volatility. And what's that do for you? That helps you build wealth. So again, that's the answer to what's the right investment. Get the plan together, make sure it's stable, make sure it's actionable, and make sure it can withstand the storms of the times, you know, inflation's going up, wars, recessions, all of that is noise. With the proper plan in place, over time, you're going to build your wealth. And again, if you want to go out and earn $100,000 for, well, it's not even 100, what is it? What's the Corvette now? 120 grand. If you want to try and go out and earn 120 grand, in the next 6 months to get that Corvette, more power to you. That's just not what building wealth's about. It's about a steady Eddie way of doing it. The other thing I'll say with that is when people are looking for that silver bullet of investing, what's the bulletproof way of growing money? What's the one size fits all? There isn't. And it's kind of funny to me because these are the same people who ask that go to Starbucks for their coffee, right? Maybe they go to Chipotle for a burrito. What do those two things have in common? You build it the way you want to. Nobody goes to Starbucks to pay for $4 for a black coffee, and that's it. I mean, I get a decaf. That's all I get because I lack vision, I guess, when it comes to coffee. But most people in there have their own little latte, natte, milky, wilky, whatever, grande, venti. I don't even know. But Starbucks took a concept of a $1.25 cup of coffee and turned it to a $5 sensation that everybody wants to do it. And why is that? Because it's individualized. Burger King, how do they separate from McDonald's? Hey, have it your way. Build that Whopper the way you want to. Then you look at Chipotle burrito, where they don't build that burrito the way you want to. So everybody out there is doing this individualistic type of thing, but yet they want a one size fits all when it comes to investments. It just doesn't work like that. I mean, if you don't live like everybody else, why do you want to try and invest like everybody else? So I want to get that out there and answer that question. It really comes down to you, what your individual preference is, and how do we build that wealth over time? So with that, I want to get into, I've had some questions over the last few podcasts. I kind of want to get out there. There's been some themes. I picked out the common themes from them. And the first one that sticks out is crypto. And the one I got here is, hey, Wheeler, what's up with crypto? Is it good or bad? I don't know. If I had a nickel for every time a millennial came up to me and talked about how they were investing in crypto, or, you know, another Matt Damon commercial about being bold. You can be bold. You know what most people are? Bold or broke, right? That's bold and broke go together more often than bold and rich. I promise you. So I'll talk about crypto. I'm not going to recommend it. I'm not going to not recommend it. I'm just going to tell you what it is. It is one of those things that speaks to that narrative in us, and that thing in each one of us. We want to make it rich fast, right? Why are casinos out there? Because they give you that dream, that hope of hitting rich quick. Why are lotteries out there? They give you that dream of being able to hit money quick. We want to make a lot of money for no work, right? That's the dream, right? That's why lottos are out there. You know, you got a better chance of being struck by lightning 7 times than winning a lotto. And I'm not talking about 500, 250 bucks. Yeah, that the chance decreases there. But you want to win the mega pot or whatever it is, the millions, you got a better chance of the Lord God Almighty singling you out 7 times and striking you with lightning than you do of him saying, hey, you're going to get the winning jackpot, right? So why do we do it? Because of that hope that we can get rich quick with no effort. Now, I'm not going to say crypto is exactly like that. But I will say, for most people that I've spoken with over the years, it is like that. They don't know what it is. They don't know what it does. They don't know what it represents. All they've done is seen that it has gone up over the years from maybe starting at $200 up to $60,000. And of course, now it's down depending on which coin you're talking about. So is it good or bad? The answer is always, it depends. If you've got money saved up, and you're on track for your long-term financial goals of retirement, safety, that older self that I keep telling you guys about that's coming, that's not going to go away. You will get old. That person, if you got that person taken care of and you got money on the side, your Vegas money, so to speak, there's nothing wrong with crypto, but I would encourage you to understand what it is. And I'm not going to get into it. There's enough websites out there that explains blockchain technology, valuations. I will say this, crypto has morphed, and it probably will continue to morph from what it was originally designed to do. Originally, it was supposed to be money in and of itself, value in and of itself. And now it's instead of acting more like a currency and being valued as a currency, I think most experts will agree it is acting like a stock and being valued as a stock. Now, for a lot of you, I've already lost you. And if I've already lost you, that should tell you probably crypto's not for you. Okay, but if you're still in there, you still want to get into it, I would say, hey, take what you can afford to lose, because you might lose. There's a high chance. You can't get in a more volatile investment than crypto right now. And I don't care which one it is. But I also think, you know, I always laugh. I think crypto's like rap music back in the 80s. I'm not a big rap music fan, but I remember in the 80s, I was like, man, I hope rap music goes away. I don't get it. It's not my thing. I don't like it. But guess what? Rap music not only did not go away, now it's about every genre from country, Western to rock. And it's, you know, pretty much here to stay. And people made a lot of money at it. So for my future self that will be watching this 20 years from now, I'm sorry I didn't get into crypto. Now, let's go on to the next question. All right. This person says, hey, Wheeler, I've never invested before. What's the best way to get started? I'm going to say it's a good question. 9 times out of 10, if you are working, it's your 401k or your 403b if you're working for a government organization. You want to make sure you're starting in your 401k. I'm not going to get into fees of 401k and all that. Yes, there's fees, but for the most part, there's a low-cost way to get started. And oh, by the way, most companies match. So if you put in 6% of your salary, they will put in 3%. That's the way the majority of plans work. That's free money. If you're not taking advantage of that, you're leaving money on the table. It'd be like this. It'd be like, hey, there's a $100 bill on the floor. Would you pick it up? Well, what do I got to do to? All you got to do is bend down and pick it up. It's yours, right? How many people would not do that? Just about everybody. I don't care if you're a millionaire or you make only 20 grand a year. Something about the number 100, seeing that Chris Benji in front of you, right? Everybody sees value in a $100 bill. There's some psychotics behind psychological stuff behind that. But trust me when I say everybody loves a hundy, right? They pick it up. So I would ask you, if you're not taking advantage of your company match, you're in essence leaving hundies on the floor that are yours for the taking. So that's the best way to get started. Now, if you don't have a job, if you're an entrepreneur such as myself, if you got your own gig, then you probably want to start with a Roth IRA. And again, I'm just speaking to the masses. It may or may not speak to you, but I would bet 9 out of 10 times if you're just starting out and you don't have any investments saved up. And again, we're talking about long-term investing. A Roth IRA is probably the way you want to go. You can start one at your bank. You can find a financial advisor in your local neighborhood, or you can go online and use a number of services that are out there. And I'm not going to mention the names because of compliance, but there's enough ways to get out there and start it pretty easy for a Roth IRA. And again, the numbers right now speak to $6,000 a year you can put into it, and then you put it in mutual funds and you're off and running. That's how I would do it. So I hope that helps. And then the last question I have for here is a recession coming? I don't know. That's the long story short. I know there's a lot of volatility. I know that we have been spoiled since about 2009, that this economy has grown greatly so. I know a lot of people subscribe to the what goes up must come down. I would say not necessarily so. If you look at the economy of Australia over a certain point of time, they went 20 years without a significant market correction. This is probably, I think, maybe our second or third significant market correction in the last couple of years. I would say this is a new norm. I don't know if we're going to get in a recession or not. I'm not going to speculate on that. What I will tell you is this, is that if you have the proper financial plan in place, saving for long-term stuff, if you have the right budget, if you have the right budget in place personally and for your business, then whether recession comes or not is almost meaningless to you. If you prepare correctly, you won't worry about the noise. Now, you're not going to hear that on the TV show because that's not fun to talk about. It's not exciting. Good news isn't exciting. They're not going to sit there and tell you about all the people who are prepared for a recession coming if it comes. They're going to talk about the gloom and doom. That's what gets attention. That's what gets you turned and focused in. So what I would tell you is I don't know if recessions are coming, but I would not worry about it. If that's a worry for you, I would go back and look at where am I at financially now and how can I prepare going forward. And I would do that preparation whether there's a recession coming or not. Meaning, there's a lot of people out there who, for example, were in an aggressive portfolio in their 401k. And this market correction hit. What'd they do? They got nervous. They freaked out. Their portfolio went down 20%. And they go, oh, let me move something safe, quote unquote safe. And they moved it to what they thought was safe, which was in bonds. But what they didn't know, bonds were also negative. And so what they have done is now when times are tough and the market is low, they sold when it was low, and they have in essence captured that loss, meaning they're going to realize that loss, meaning they really lost it. They put it into maybe bonds or something that's not as aggressive. And when the market comes back, I can't say that it will come back, but based on history, it most likely will come back, that they're going to lose out on that rising growth. So I would tell you that if you're out there and you're asking that question, you're probably asking, what you're really asking is, should I move my investments around? And what I'm telling you is, if you wrote it down, if you wrote your investments down, you need to ride them back up. And then when they get backed up to where they were prior to the market correction, think about how that felt and then move to something less aggressive going forward. That's how I'll answer that question. So, hope that helps. Again, we kind of talked about, I want to talk about current events, the volatility. I think that's a new normal now. I kind of spoke to that when in terms of recession. Get used to that. Again, when we looked at the past 10 years, the market's just gone up, up, and up. And it was crazy because in the pandemic, people weren't working. The government was, in essence, printing money to try and get us through that with the gamble of that would keep us from going to recession here at the end. It may or may not pay off. I don't want to get into Keynesian economics. If you look at Germany in the 1930s, that type of thing, I'm not getting into that. What I think you need to take away from is volatility is the new normal for the next few years. You can't expect investments to keep going up and up and up. I mean, it's like if you're at Vegas and you're at the crap table, right? And you're on a heater, they call it, and you're shooting and you haven't crapped out, so to speak, that many. You just keep winning and winning and winning. Who in their right mind thinks they're going to keep winning forever, right? Well, apparently you shooting those dice, because what do? You keep shooting until you lose, right? And then typically when you lose, you want to walk away still up. But what do? You keep putting more money because you want to chase that heater. So what I'm telling you is don't chase the heater, right? Make sure you have a long-term plan in place and don't stay at the crap table forever. Volatility is the new norm. That's what I'll tell you as far as current events. And in terms of rising interest rates, okay, again, speaking of bonds, I see a lot of people trying to shift into bonds because, hey, that's quote-unquote safe. But again, what you don't know, because you're probably not in this business, you don't do this 24/7 like I do, is long story short, when interest rates are going up or expected to go up, as the Feds are expected to raise rates again, bonds don't perform well. Their price goes down. Their value goes down. So again, in terms of things happening today, I would not be making major moves in my portfolio trying to guess or time the market. You will lose every time. I forget who did a study, but there's a study out there that says the average return that a do-it-yourself investor gets is 2.5%. 2.5%. Think about that. That means with all the active Googling you're doing and the Aaron Rodgers research that you're doing on your own, trying to get your optimal portfolio, the best of you, you're going to get 2.5%. You'd have been better off putting in a 4% CD and calling it a day, right? If CDs were paying 4%, which they're not right now. But there was a time there were. So what I'm telling you, when times are good, bad, or indifferent, the best you can hope for if you're doing it yourself, on average, is 2.5%. So again, I just wouldn't be trying to blindly move into something because you read it on a Forbes article or you saw it on CNBC or something like that, and it was the latest thing that a talking head to do to get your attention. I would really look at something solid, again, for long-term investing. For those of you who are out here that are looking for a quick turnaround, six-month, year turnaround, that's not me. There's other people out there that try and get you into that. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. I'm here about real wealth. I'm here for those people who want to be wealthy long-term. True wealthy people don't worry as much about a pending recession as someone on the edge. So I'll leave it with that. Now, let's get into the topic I want to talk about today. And with that, that's my new segue, right? We got to have a segue. So it's What better segue than Mississippi State, right? For those of you who want to know what the cowbell is, there it is. Yeah, they didn't put PhD on it, so I'm kind of upset about that. But hopefully we get it later on. I don't know how much it's going to cost me. The sad part is, when I went to Mississippi State, we weren't allowed to use the cowbell because it was not fair to the other teams. Apparently, Mississippi State football was such a powerhouse in the SEC in the 80s and 90s that we weren't allowed to use the cowbell because they would create too much noise. But now we can. Why can't we use it now? Because, you know, we're not the powerhouse, I guess, that everybody thought. So anyway, there we go. What are we jumping into? Nobody wants to hear about Mississippi State, I guess. I would encourage you to check out that university for those of you who are not getting into Austin. Most of you aren't, by the way. So segue on over to Mississippi State. You'll do okay. That's all I'll say about that. All right, here. What do we do with leftovers? When we're looking, what are leftovers? I'm not talking about your meatloaf and your spaghetti or whatever. I'm talking about financially leftover. You paid your bills. Now what? Okay, let's pretend like you got a stack of money sitting there. You got about $1,000 sitting there. What do we do? Well, again, I go back to what's our long-term plan. Let's just assume you're going to grow to be old. It's coming. It's happening again. That's the old age freight train coming. You're going to get old. It's hard to believe. It's not fun to think about, but you're going to get old. And you're going to like doing the same things that you did when you were young. I think I shared this on the last podcast. Fun fact, what's the number one rising STD population? Old people. Gross to think about, but it's the truth. You're going to get old. You're going to want to have sex too. Now, does anybody want to have sex with a brokey broke? I don't think so. So when you're old, you're going to want to have money if you're going to have, if you're going to want to have what we call the sexual relations, male or female, right? No one wants to mess around and pay for someone's welfare. So why do I say that? We want to plan for that. And so if you have extra money, you can go, okay, well, I can buy the latest, hottest gimmick, gizmo, iPhone, car, whatever, car payments I'll get into in another segment. Or first, I can pay myself, right? And for you, for those of you who are on the religious mindset, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever, you know, the way I take it is I tithe. I get paid, I tithe 10%, and then from there I try to, right? I don't want to meet the Lord Jesus and say I tithe every time. I try, right? And so there's what I do with my leftover. I take that 10, and then when I have leftover, what do? Then I pay myself, which is retirement, which is what you guys should do. Now, again, then be that in your 401k, which hopefully you're doing to take advantage of that free money that most companies put out there for you on the company match. If you don't do that, then do the Roth IRA. If you're already doing the 401k and the company match and you still have leftover money, then you want to look at a Roth IRA, right? That goes toward your retirement. I would definitely look at doing that. And then after that, you look at your family members, okay? Have you taken care of yourself on the insurance side if you pass away prematurely? Are you taking care of your loved ones when you left? If you haven't done that, then you may want to look at a plan there. For a lot of people, that's a term insurance plan. Okay, what if you got kids? Are you going to pay for their college? I don't know. A lot of people kind of want to pay for their kids' college. Is it better to save for kids' college now or take a loan when you're older and try and pay off your kids' college then, or have them take a loan? It's a personal decision. I'm not here telling you, you got to pay for your kids' college. But what I am saying is you need to think about it when you have that leftover cash. And I'm all for you. If you're like, hey, to hell with them, they can pay for your own college, that's fine. Just make sure you mentally tell yourself that and then tell them that when they're 12 or 13 and can understand it, so then they can prep for it. But when you've done that, when you've done your charitable giving, if that's what you want to do, you paid your retirement yourself, right? And then any taking care of your loved ones, then you can have fun money, right? Then you can do the things like the vacation. And then I would tell you, don't fall into that entitlement mindset. Don't chase the Joneses and see your buddy get a Corvette and then you go out and try and buy a Corvette. I promise you, he or she probably subleased that thing. It's probably going to drive it for 3 months. I remember I met one couple. They were bleeding money each month. $600 a month, they were in the red, if not $1,000. And they're remodeling their kitchen, and they both had two cars, and the wife had a Q Infinity 60 with about a $700 a month car note. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, well, what are you guys doing with a Q60? You know, you're bleeding $600 a month, but you have an Infiniti 60, right? This solves itself. Get rid of the 60, get a used car. What's her answer to me? Oh, I feel I deserve that. Okay. You deserve it. You know what else you deserve? You deserve to be in debt and bleed $600 a month if you want to keep that Q60. So I'm not the guy that you vote for class president in high school. Hey, we're going to have 4 recesses and everybody's going to get free Coca-Colas and we're going to have snack machines on every hallway. Fun to say, great to vote for, never going to happen. So again, what I'm telling you is I'm not saying you got to eat beanie weenies the rest of your life. But what I am saying, especially here in Dallas, don't fall into the $30,000 Dallas millionaire trap. And if you haven't heard that, you haven't been in Dallas long, you'll run into it. So again, don't outlive your means. When you're looking at your leftovers, make sure they're truly left over. And if you do that, you'll be on the right track. Let's take a quick example. Let's say you do have an extra $100 and you can go to the casino with that $100, up to do a Winstar or Choctaw, gamble that $100 and try and turn it into $10,000, or we kind of put it in a steady Eddie way. So I know people are rolling their eyes. I got the financial calculator. I know my marketing person's not going to be too happy with me, but here we go. I'm going to tell you real quick. This is how quick it shows you what $100 can do. We got $100. I put it right here in the calculator, so I'm not doing anything fancy. Take $100. We put that in for the next 20 years. For every month, right? So we do that. Let's say we get 7% return. It's pretty conservative. Pretty conservative. It's nothing great. It's not 20%. It's not 30%. It's 7%. We get that. What's that give us? Boom. Now, what are we going to have? What did that $100 turn into? I don't know if you can see that. Turn into $52,000. $52,000. That's almost a Q60, isn't it? Right? For an extra $100 a month that you got sitting there, that maybe you can go out with your buddies drinking, or go to I don't know, who likes the Olive Garden still? Unlimited breadsticks, something like that. I don't know what people like now. Something nice, right? You can do that, or you take that 100, put it away, and in 20 years, so for you 20-year-olds, you'll be 45. I'm going to tell you something, still young. 52 grand when you're 45 is going to be real good, right? Then you go get your new car, or go vacation, or maybe retire early, or whatever you want to do. So I'm just trying to show you the power of compounding interest with your leftovers, right? Do you really want to pay $5 for a Starbucks coffee? And I think I did that in an earlier podcast, where really that $5 is more like $13. So just forego one or two Starbucks. I'm not saying never do Starbucks, but for you, disciples out there that are going every morning, gladly giving Seattle $6 a pop, you're giving them $52,000-$60,000 over the course of 20 years. I don't know. That's a lot of coffee. Is it worth it? Few numbers for you I got here. You know, again, it's no secret here that most people don't plan for retirement. A lot of broke old people out there. And I'm not trying to make fun of them a little bit. Boomers kind of irritate me a little bit. That's my own issue. But if you follow the boomers, real quick story, they're like the snake that ate the rat. And you see that big rat being swallowed up. So we didn't used to have credit card debt until what happened? Boomers came along and said, we want our money now. 9776 now. So now we got all this credit card. It used to be for you to have a credit card, you used to have the money to have the credit card. Not now. Why? Because of baby boomers. Why do we have house prices raised so far up and the subprime loan mortgage? Because baby boomers, right, with all the money, said, hey, we want a bigger house and we want it now. So they got it, right? So that's where the baby boomers come from. And so they've been spending their money, and now a lot of them, guess what? Don't have it. So over 15 million Americans 65 years or older are living below the poverty level. Does that mean America sucks? No, not at all. It means they're horrible at saving, and they made poor life decisions. So what is that? What's the poverty level, Wheeler? Well, it's less than $25,000 a year. Think about that. You are now 65, 70, 80, 90 years old, and you're living on less than $25,000 a year and not a hope or prayer of making more. How many people are out there hiring 85-year-olds to work? It's not fun. There's a lady at Subway, sweet little old lady. She's got to be in her late 70s, and she is building sandwiches. Do you think she's building sandwiches because she loves her some Subway and meeting new and interesting people such as myself and other people late at night at 10 o'clock on a weekend? Do you think that was her dream as a little 12-year-old girl to be at 79 making Subway sandwiches at 10 o'clock on a Friday night? Probably not. So if you don't want that to be you, you're going to have to make some not huge changes in your life, but really take a realistic look at what things are costing you now that you quote unquote like or quote unquote can't live without. And what is that costing? What I say? Your older self, right? Who's that? Bob Marley. I'm Bob Marley coming at you saying, Scrooge, give me a break, right? Start making smarter choices. Okay, so I think I beat a dead horse, but I just want to say there's nothing, you know, you come into this world without money, right? Most of us. You don't want to go out of this world without money, right? And what's worse than that? You were born with money, you had money, and now you're broke and old without money. You're not going to be able to adjust. It's nothing worse than that. And I hate to lean on an oldie but a goodie, but it is. A penny saved is a penny earned. Who said that? Benjamin Franklin. And that's kind of what I'm saying. Again, I'm not saying eat beanie weenies. I'm just saying shift your thought a little bit. Make sure you allow for your older self and put them in the equation. I'll also say this, in terms of business owners, if you're a new business owner and you think you have leftover money, you don't. You're doing something wrong. No new business owner. And when I say new, I'm gonna give you 2 years and less. If you're 2 years and less in business and you think you got leftover money, you're doing something wrong. And I'm not going to do it in a business class, but you either are not reinvesting your money properly, you're not marketing enough, you're not doing the right customer service, you're leaving something on the table. You are not an expert at your business at 2 years. So if you have leftovers, if you think you do, 2 years, I would even say three, need to relook your budget, you're doing something wrong. I'm going to give you this riddle to kind of end on. I'm going to say it like this. Riddle me this. What is the most precious commodity that is free, but it costs the most. Let you think about that. What is that? It's time. It's time, right? Time doesn't cost you any money, but it does cost you money in the long run. It costs you growth. You don't have time to waste. So don't wait until you're, and I see it time and time again, 63-year-olds, 60, 70-year-olds. What can I do to take care of my long-term care needs or my retirement? You know what? It's too late. You know, I was with one couple and they want to spend, they're making about $350,000 a year. They want to spend about $200,000 in retirement. They've saved hardly anything. They want to retire in 8 years and they want to know how to do it. You know what I told them? Here's $5 on me. Go buy a lotto ticket. That's your best chance. Okay. 8 years to try and save $3.5 million. You don't need me. You need like a miracle. Okay. You don't want to be that person. And I'm talking to you boomers out there and I'm talking to you millennials. Y'all are the ones that are going to have the money. Boomers have it now. More than likely millennials and younger are going to have it. My generation X, you know why they call us X? Because we don't get nothing. We don't get nothing. You guys are going to get the money, millennials, and that's why I'm talking to you. Boomers, you have the money. I'm talking to you as well. Boomers, be realistic in your expectation of retirement. Millennials, start making smart choices now, and you'll be way ahead of the game. The last thing I'll say is if you have money, you're going to live longer. Why? Because you're going to be able to afford healthcare, better living conditions. It's just math and science at that point. You're going to eat better. You're going to have better health equipment. You're going to be around healthier people. It's just going to be better for you. So, how many of you out there have a broke friend right now? Think about this. How many of you have a broke friend, right? Doesn't make a lot of money. Maybe a nice guy, a girl. They may have a lot of fun with them. They may make you laugh. But when it's time to go do something, what happens? Do they have money to go for it? Do they ask you for money? Or can they not go because they don't have money? Then all of a sudden, it's not so fun to hang out with them. And I'm not trying to be shallow. It's not shallow at all. It's just the truth. Now, picture that. Picture that if you're old. Now when you're 75 or 85, do you want to hang out with a broke 85-year-old? What are they going to ask you for? Hey, do you have any extra money for my pills? Do you have any extra money to pay for the nurse? Right? It ain't going to be just, hey, give me $5 for a cheeseburger. You're not going to hang out with a broke person. Now, picture you as that broke person, that broke old person. Go through that math. Do you want to be that broke old person? I don't think so. I hope you turn in next time. We're going to talk about something more fun, how you can take charge of your career. Till next time, Dr. Wheeler Poyam. Thanks for watching.